Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
We thank you for the gift of sonship tonight, Father. We thank you for the fact that you've given us the grace to receive it because we didn't go looking for it. We didn't know we needed it. We didn't know we needed you. We never went looking for you. You came looking for us. And tonight we thank you that you're in this place. You're looking for a lot of people. You're looking for a lot of hearts. And we thank you that hearts are coming to you tonight. We thank you that people are getting healed tonight. Thank you that people are getting delivered tonight. People are getting set free tonight. Because Christ is here, and all God's people say, amen. The Lord bless you.
Those savages are threatening our whole operation. We're on the brink of war, and you're supposed to be finding a diplomatic solution.
The concept is to drive these remotely controlled bodies called avatars. They're grown from human DNA mixed with DNA of the natives.
Marine in an avatar body. That's a potent mix.
You get me what I need, I'll see to it. You get your legs, babe. Your real legs.
Hell yeah, sir.
Looks like you. This is your avatar.
Just relax and let your mind go blank. It shouldn't be hard for you.
Jake, it's real simple.
I want you to learn from the inside. I want you to gain their trust.
You should not be here. Go back. All this is your fault.
I need your help.
Who's all seen the movie? Who's not seen the movie? Okay, you guys had better come to my place. I've got the video. Back in 1929, it was quite interesting to watch what the blockbusters were in the world. All the major movies shown in black and white, obviously, back in the day, was about a very ambitious man, a dictator, who would attempt to take over the world. Isn't that weird? All of the blockbuster movies. See, creative people, artists are so in tune and so intuitive spiritually. It's many times so important that we listen to them, look at what they're saying. And tonight, I'm wanting us to just consider the message of this movie, Avatar. I mustn't do that. Somebody was saying to me the other day, I'm a Illuminati guy. So I'm talking to the pinky. Pinky, don't do that. It's beautiful when we help each other. It was in Bloemfontein last week. A guy came to see me afterwards and says, are you a member of the Illuminati? So now, CS, I'm going to watch you two to see what your fingers do. Because for those who didn't watch the movie, the storyline's quite simple. And I'm wanting to talk about it in terms of it being a parable, because it is a parable of the times in which we're living, in a very powerful, very accurate, very true parable. We'll unpack it in the next few minutes. You saw the guy, ex-Marine, injured, confined to a wheelchair. He goes into hypersleep or hibernation, flies way across the galaxy to another planet. And when he gets there, as you saw in the clip, the promotional clip, he gets made an offer. If you'll work for us, we're going to get you out of this wheelchair. But there's a trick. It won't be you. It'll be a part of you. But we'll give you another body called an avatar. and you'll be able to live your dream. You'll be able to exercise yourself. You'll be able to express yourself. Live your life as another you, as an avatar. I believe it's a very powerful parable of our day. Avatar is a Hindu word from the Sanskrit word avatari, definition. It speaks of reincarnation. You see, of the many, many myriad gods Hinduism worships, it speaks of an embodiment in a new form. And the Hindu gods would come and assume a new body of a lion or a dragon, and they'd actually get an upgrade, believe it or not. And that new body would be called an avatar. That's the original meaning. In science fiction, as we just saw it, it speaks of a hybrid creature composed of human and alien DNA that's remotely controlled by the mind of a genetically matched human being, as found in the movie. But for most of us geeks, are there geeks in the house tonight? There are two geeks on this side. Anybody over here? It's okay. There are no ladies watching. You can tell me. It speaks of an iconographic or another image by which a person represents himself or herself on a communications network or in a virtual community, such as a chat room or multiplayer game. But the bottom line is this. People choose an avatar based on how they want other people to see them. I'm going to have to say that again, because this is the big thing. This is the big reality. People choose an avatar based on how they want other people to see them. It's about how other people see me. It's about how other people perceive me. It's about how other people ascribe status and identity and dignity to me. It's about other people. Are we on the same page here? Okay. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the last days, I speak about this often. I really believe that it's time that we contextualize ourselves as humans, but mostly as Christians. You may not be aware of it, but these are the last days. We're in the middle of the last days. This is it. And it's not the countdown to oblivion. God didn't create the world to destroy it. God is an eternal God. Say he's eternal. And I'm going to speak about Christ tonight as the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was and the one who is and the one who is to come. God doesn't wake up sometime and think, huh, I've got to come up with a new idea as to what to do with creation. He doesn't do that. It's all pre-planned. All that's happening when I say it's the last days is we must get our heads around the fact that we are nearing the end of an epoch, of a dispensation. This dispensation was never meant to go on forever. Can somebody say amen? A lot of people are desperate to make it happen. A lot of people are desperate to save it, to salvage it, to fix it. Our job is just to make sure that Christ's mission on earth gets accomplished. Can I tell you what Christ's mission on earth is? Can I tell you what our mission is in Christ? It's to justify the shed blood of Christ. You don't get it. Our mission is to justify the shed blood of Christ. That's it. Everything else is peripheral. Everything else is incidental. If you're a believer, you need to get your head and your heart around what that means. And so you're in the right place tonight. If you don't get your head and your heart around that, you're going to be a very confused, a very unhappy puppy in the days that we live in. The Apostle Paul says, but understand this, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, that in the last days will come some serious times will set him. He says it's perilous, it's great stress and trouble. And then he tells us nothing about the times, but he tells us the people that makes the time so perilous. The people that make the time so stressful, so dangerous, some translations say. People will be lovers of themselves. People will be utterly self-centered. I want you to say that with me, because if you don't accept that, then you're in disagreement with God about the times in which we're living. Read this with me. People will be lovers of self.
and utterly self-centered. Now that right there is bad news, but it's the truth. And it afflicts all of us. I'm not talking to people out there in the room. I'm talking to people in here. And in there, behind that skull, and in that chest of yours. I'm talking to all of us in the room tonight. And Scripture wants us to deal with this reality. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has much to say into this challenge. So the idea of the avatar relates to something that you're going to hear about often. Some of you haven't heard about it. It's great if you hear about it for the first time tonight. But the age of the avatar can be called the age of appropriation. To appropriate means to take without permission. Can we have the slide there? To take without permission or consent, to seize, to take or to make use of without authority or right. In short, it means to steal. And in this case, it talks of the theft of that which is immaterial and abstract. And I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. So that parable of the avatar is, as seen in the movie, is a very powerful one, because it's the greatest temptation facing this generation and the world today. And I'm going to show you some examples tonight. Some of them you know, some of them you don't. But it's a pervasive, a universal reality. The bottom line that I'm wanting to get to tonight is people actually believe that they can steal another life and make it theirs, stand up inside of it, and be awesome, and be cool. That I can leave my wheelchair, I can forget about my real life and my real self in my wheelchair, and with a little bit of magic, I can get myself this massive exoskeleton. I can run around another planet and just be totally awesome, totally untouchable. And that is not just a cute idea in a movie. It's a fantasy that so many of us nurture and that the Holy Spirit would speak into tonight. Tonight, before we finish, a lot of people are going to bring their avatars to Christ. Tonight's that night when it dies. Tonight's the night you'll get back into your wheelchair and roll down the aisle to come to Christ. That's my message tonight. So let's walk backwards into it. There's a lot of research being done around the issue that the Apostle Paul highlights. It's called narcissism, the extreme love of self, self-obsession, and extreme self-centeredness. Let's read you some quotes. For some people, appearances are all there is. But watch this contradiction. And their self-hatred knows no bounds. That's why that avatar picture is so powerful. You hate the guy in the wheelchair. You hate the pathetic guy. But you love the new self. You love the avatar. You love the awesome self. You love the blue self. You love the powerful self. Because appearances are everything. It's more important than the truth. They're ashamed of the real selves. So says Joanna M. Ashman. A psychotherapist from Ireland, Northern Ireland, says the following. Narcissistic behavior is prevalent in our culture today. Actually, it's reaching epidemic proportions. Another researcher, a group of them, say narcissists are often thought of as people who are in love with him or herself, but this is not necessarily the case. Narcissists are in love with an avatar, a made-up image of themselves, that they attempt to project out into the world in lieu of their true self. Most of the time, their true self is wounded, and as such, they have an extraordinary feeling of inadequacy. The guy in the wheelchair is always in the background. He's always trying to come forward. He's always trying to get help. But he's been shoved into a little corner at home. Many cultures around the world, some of them in Southern Africa, we've come across that as we've gone from shack to shack in some places, looking for the people in the wheelchairs, looking for the people with disabilities. And communities get very mad with us because we're not allowed to help those people because those people bring a curse on the community. So if we are to help them, we bring a curse on the community. I talked to some people at my house full of YBAM people from all across the world, and they were telling me about a massive lawsuit that they're facing from the government of Brazil right now. You won't believe why. Because in the Amazon jungle, there are tribes that believe that if you have twins, it brings bad luck on the tribe. So one of the twins must get killed. Or if a kid's born blind or disabled in any way, it has to die. But watch this. The parents aren't allowed to kill the child. The parent has to bury the child alive for some deep, inexplicable reason. So what's happening with them reaching the missionaries, the YWAM workers reaching the tribes? As soon as the child gets buried, they sneak up and they dig up the child and they rescue the kids. The Brazilian government feels it's a violation of culture. They're meddling. They're imposing their Western values on people who are meant to remain primitive because it's their cultural whatever. Some tribes feel that way. Some individuals feel that way. We've got to keep that guy in the wheelchair locked up, out of sight, out of mind. We're dealing with massive arrogance and massive shame that live side by side on the inside of a lot of people that are conflicted, that must come to Christ to get healed. That's what the prophetic word was about tonight. Because the blue guy wants worship. The awesome guy wants worship. The awesome guy comes to worship Christ. And Christ is saying, I want this to stop tonight. I want the guy in the wheelchair in the service, I want him to worship. Because he understands he's not deserving of worship. He's a nice guy. The other guy is delusional. The other guy needs help. The other guy needs my healing. Are you with me tonight? Let's get you another quote. Like a disease, narcissism is caused by certain factors and it spreads through particular channels and it appears as various symptoms and might be halted by preventative measures and cures. The world's hoping to fix it. And it comes from a book called The Narcissism Epidemic, Living in an Age of Entitlement. It's a very powerful, very accurate title for a book. And if you wanted to, you could get the author's name so you can go and look for it. So what I believe a few sins are that are being committed. Now, I know we don't speak about sins from the pulpit anymore because it's uncool. But if you want cool sermons, you can watch a couple of guys on television or on the internet. You can download their stuff. And they're going to tell you how awesome your blue man is. And how the sky's the limit and how there's nothing the blue man can't do. Tonight, I've got bad news for you. Christ is not interested in the blue guy. He's not interested in the avatar. He didn't die for the avatar. He doesn't want to save the avatar. He wants every avatar out of church. He wants the authentic self. Doesn't matter if the authentic self is in a wheelchair, has no legs, has no arms, has no persona, has no intelligence. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where the little guy in the wheelchair has been. Doesn't matter what he's been through. Christ is interested only in him. As Fani shared tonight, Christ is not interested in your medal and your trophies of self-achievement. Christ is not interested. I love the fact that Fani shared tonight. Christ loves the guy with the limp. Christ loves the guy in the wheelchair. Christ thinks he's awesome. So let's just run through a couple of stuff. So we're talking about tonight a guy in a wheelchair that wants to create a story that is not his. He's wanting to create a life that is not his. You call this narrative appropriation in terms. You're going to learn a couple of words this year. This is one I want you to remember. And it speaks of the fact that there's an attempt to steal, theft of another's life story. And this expresses itself in cultural, social, and political. Dissimulation just means masquerading, means being fake, counterfeit. It talks about impersonating. So, I want that picture on cultural appropriation. I don't know if you know this girl. Rachel, anybody knows her? Hands up. One person. James knows her. Okay, guys. I don't know what world you live in, but there are massive things happening all around you. And you get the tail end of it and affects you. Because these things you pick up in the drink waters in the sky above you. The theft that we're talking tonight comes from the fact that there's a spirit vying with the Holy Spirit to take over the lives, the minds, and the hearts of men. And Christ called the author and the origin of that spirit the one who kills, steals, and destroys. So the theft that we're talking about tonight is very insidious, but it does not come from the Holy Spirit. God opposes it. This young lady that you see on the left is the same one we see on the right. She pretended to be black for some 10 years of her life, still tries to be black. If we can go to the following picture, she's been telling lies about herself, saying that that guy's her father. She's got two snow white parents. She doesn't have a black person anywhere in her generations from the time they came from Sweden and Germany and Scandinavia or wherever, Poland. But she has problems. She said she picked up the problems when she came to South Africa. The black people here were so cool, she decided it's better to be black. Sometimes even crazy people have a point, you know. But now she's got a problem. And the problem is that of authenticity. She is white people. It doesn't matter how much polish she sticks on that skin of hers, how many wigs she wears. She was the leader of the NAACP, which is the big black civil rights movement in America. Not of the whole movement, but of the chapter somewhere in one of the northern states. And she was telling stories about how much racial discrimination she's had to endure. And a lot of, she pretended to have kids that were black. And they actually happened to be her brothers, whom her parents adopted. They're missionaries. Rachel Dozalel. She transformed herself into the person she regarded as a true self. And the true self that she figured she ought to be was an African-American, according to The Guardian. In time, she changed her appearance, revised the history, and constructed a new family. She adopted a series of African-American dads and presented to the world a black son who turned out to be her brother. It's one thing to be committed to cultural appreciation. It's one thing to have a heart for cultural exchange or cultural assimilation. I'm not going to tell you what all those things mean. Those are all nice things. Cultural appropriation, when you want to steal the cultural identity that belonged to other people and take it for yourself, it's theft. Now, it sounds quite cute, but I'm going to tell you what Christ says about it in just a moment, and the fear of God is going to come on you. He feels strongly about it. Let's look at a couple of other cute people who are thieves too. Oh, you're awake here tonight. No, generational appropriation. I want the Hollywood lady with the miniskirt on. No. It's wrong order there. We're in there. There we go. The lady on the left, who knows who the lady on the left is? Adele, hello. Okay, Adele looks like your grandmother, but she's only 25 years old, and for some reason she thinks it's cool to look a generation or two older than she is. I guess some people think it's cool. And then there's a granny on the right. You think that's appropriate?
I don't know. If she were my granny or my mother, I'd have some advice for her. Do you have a nightgown? Okay, let's look at some more people. It's getting scary. Okay, the next guy is a Canadian. The guys at Bible school would have, no. This is a cool guy. But I have a problem with him. He thinks he's 16. Ladies, who thinks that's cool? Okay, so yes, we're going to have a massive prayer line tonight. We're going to have a massive prayer line. I just want you to know that. We're going to have a couple of weird people in the house tonight. No, genuinely, he's cool. It's just not entirely appropriate. I don't know if he were your grandpa, would you hang with him in public? I knew there'd be a mixed response. Quite frankly, I admire him. I like the fact that he's not a role model. Older men ought to be role models, I'm just saying. But I'm wanting us to check another guy. His name's Paul Walsh. He's like a lumberjack or something. Next guy from Canada. He's got 7 kids and a wife. Can we have the next photos, please? It's coming. This guy. The guy on the left and the guy on the right is the same guy. Well, but at 52 years of age, 7 kids later and a wife that he dropped, he decided to embrace his true self. His true self happens to be a 6-year-old girl. He's come out as a 6-year-old girl, and he's even got parents that adopted him in Canada. Can we have the next photo? Beautiful family photo. He spends his days playing Barbie with their 8-year-old granddaughter. He's on major news networks all the time. He's being celebrated for embracing his true self. You call that generational appropriation. Young people who want to be old people who want to be young. Now, back in the day, I don't know whether it's the left cheek or the right cheek, and I'm not talking about the cheeks on his face. That cheek would have been filled with a substance called Thorazine. It's stuff they give to people before they stick them into straitjackets for a little while, before the psychiatrists start working on their heads. He's a nutcase. All the people before that were degrees away, but they're on their way there. We're talking about avatars tonight. We're talking about people. It's not like they're uncomfortable with the truth and the reality that is patently clear to everybody else. They're in arrogant rebellion against it. And they don't care who says what. They will go for what they feel they deserve. And the whole world must be happy with it. There are 2 more kinds of appropriation that is happening today. Let's roll on. Some of you will know this. Some of you only, like Loretta, discovered this tonight, so we'll forgive her for that. Bruce Jenner, former Olympic champion. 5 beautiful kids. Both of these guys are most probably grandfathers. Bruce isn't 52, he's in his 60s already. So he decides it's cool to come out as a woman. So he gets Courageous Person of the Year Award from Sports Illustrated.
And his accolades go on and on and on. But I'm wanting to just to show you, at the time of his coming out, some lady put a post on Facebook that I thought was precious. And ladies, I want you to read it with me slowly, because we're trying to migrate, all of us, from a place of craziness that this world is sliding to. And we as believers don't belong in crazy places. We belong at the cross. We belong at the kingdom. We belong with Christ. I'm helping you with the migration tonight. So you may think the old man with the short pants on is cool, but I tell you, he's not cool. A father must be a father, and a grandfather must be a grandfather. I have no problem with people being stylish. I've got a problem with people being foolish. When you're 16, it's cool to be 16. It's like when you're a baby, you know. It's cute when you breastfeed, when you're 6 months old. But when you're 16 years old and you still breastfeed,
it's not cool. Just saying.
And all I'm saying, Christians, if this theft continues in the Church of Jesus Christ, I give you license to walk up to some people and say, can you stop breastfeeding already? It's just not on. You know, in the old days, we used to say to somebody, just act your age. But these days, it's wrong. In New York, if I were to call, if Caitlyn Jenner, as he's called today, were to be in New York and I called him Bruce, at a restaurant or at a fuel station, do you know what would happen to me? I'd get summarily fined $250,000. Spot fine. Because I've just violated his identity, his human rights. It's crazy, people. Give me the, dear Caitlyn Jenner, lady called Michelle Smith Glass. Being a female, I've never felt brave or courageous or under pressure to pick out my shoes or dress. Courage as a female is facing your days with a bald head and battle scars from cancer. Courage as a female is carrying a child for 9 months that you weren't planning on having. Courage as a female is being mom and dad to a child while putting food on the table because you're all that child has. Courage as a female is busting your butt to make it in a man's world. Courage as a female is to learn to walk out after you've been beaten by someone who loves you. We don't play dress up to feel brave. We are brave in our raw, authentic selves. Do you hear that? We are brave in our raw, authentic selves. You'll find the most brave women in the world do not dress in the finest fashions adorned by jewels and makeup. They carry crowns of gray hair, wrinkles, tired bodies, and withered hands. Learn the difference. Sincerely, a real woman.
That right there is a smackdown.
It's official. It's the last days, and the world has lost its mind. There's so many nutcases in charge. It's. I never thought I'd live long enough to see this. I thought it was going to happen way, way in the future. For me, it's a shock on my system, too. This is the future. It's loony land. Gender appropriation. Generational appropriation. Cultural appropriation. Let's do another one. Now the place is going to get quiet. Historical appropriation. Give me another picture. I want to upset a few people. Tonight, some people are going to get upset. Don't walk out, otherwise we'll know who you are. Historical appropriation. You haven't heard of this in many places, but I want you to hear it in church first. The definitions will come hard and fast in the next little while. Historical appropriation is the most insidious narrative appropriation there is. As far as I'm concerned, it's the opportunistic attempt to pirate the historical experience of sacrificial ancestors or previous generations for the purpose of satisfying a desperate aspiration after the moral high ground, moral, social, and political immunity through an enhanced status of victimhood. You see, we're living in a culture of victimhood right now, and to be a victim is the coolest thing there is. It's the most powerful thing there is. Because if you can prove to the world you're a victim, you're untouchable. We saw it on campus the other day with the purple face fiasco. You saw what the Open Stellenbosch group said after the apology. It's so embarrassing. They felt that it was their right to decide what the intentions of the girls were, despite the fact that their faces weren't black. We have come to a time when people feel that they are such mighty beings. In their avatars, they are so massive that we can play God. We can look into the hearts and minds of other people, even after they've apologized, and then decide what the original intention were, because we are God. We are actually that profound. We can see into the mystery of their humanity. And so I will decide if I am offended depending on my perception of your person and my interpretation of your behavior. People, this is deep. The world has become so cruel that you can be gracious after your purple face, say, I'm so sorry if I offended anybody, but the masters of the universe who now run this place decide that we will not accept the apology. And it's not like that is the exception. That is the norm. You can go to any college campus anywhere in the world today and we can find it run by little emperors. I love being black. I can talk about the fact that there are generations that have gone before me that have suffered. But they have suffered so that I can have freedom today to speak and to be and to have an education. But it's immoral of me to pretend that their suffering is mine. It's not mine. I want to say something as a son of Africa. In Asia and in Africa, we have great respect for our ancestors. In fact, we venerate them. Africa is the only place where we don't allow ourselves to get up from those tombs and to move on. I'm talking about historical appropriation. I'm talking about the fact that people have sacrificed, have shed their blood in Africa so that they can be changed. And in a sense, it's our story, but not as much our story as their story. In the ministry, I've got a lot of people who dig me dirt and do a lot of stuff to me. This is Stellenbosch. I've been here a lot longer than you. I've suffered a lot more racism than all of you in the room. Do you know, I don't for one moment expect my two sons to have any issue with anybody who did me in. It's not their fight. It's mine. And God gave me grace to fight it. You know why I fought it? So they needn't fight it. At the moment, we have a generation that wants to pick a fight that isn't theirs. And you know why? It has nothing to do with the ancestors. It's selfish reasons. We are desperate to enhance our image as the victims. I want to tell you, my sons are not victims. I want to tell you in this room, you're not victims as a generation. I need to say some things here tonight. We're in Africa, and it's time that we moved on. Do you know that it is the sickest, the most ignorant thing to speak of white people as oppressors? Do you know that the Irish nation, and I challenge you to Google this, has suffered as much slavery as any other black nation on the planet? Anybody knew that? Have you heard of the Slavic nations? Do you know who they are? Do you know where they are? Can anybody help me? Do you know why they're called the Slavic nations? It's slang for slaves in old German. For generations, they've been the slaves of the Germans and many other nations before that. You don't have Jewish people, Slavic people, Korean people. There are so many dynasties and nations that have been slave masters throughout the ages. We in Africa aren't the only people to suffer from it, people. But when you're a believer, the Lord Jesus Christ does not allow you to get stuck there because you're wanting to enhance your avatar. We don't do that. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're a believer and you cannot forgive, then you don't know Christ. No, 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 that is weak. If you're a believer and you've got difficulty forgiving, then you don't know Christ. We are here to justify the shed blood of Christ, which speaks the forgiveness that the Father has made available to the entire world. And I can't believe that there are even Christians who don't understand that. Who think that we have a right to hold things against people because they're not perfect or because they're evil. Who have the right to believe that other people are more evil than we are or than I am. It is not Christian people. It does not come from the Holy Spirit. That comes from Lucifer, the one who kills and steals and destroys. But tonight, we're going to pray about this. Amen? Amen? And now, just before we pray, can I give you Christ's opinion on this? I want to tell you how strongly I feel about this. I've been praying about this a lot. Somebody asked me a question at Bible school on Monday night, and as I shared with him and walked out, I don't know if he's here tonight, but thank you for that moment. The Holy Spirit has just been speaking to me about this all week. Christ speaking, Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. On the judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy, expel demons, do a lot of miracles in your name? Watch his response. He'll say, I've never known you. Get away from me. Christ is going to shock a lot of avatars. There's so many people who come to Christ and they haven't moved away from the place that Fani was at during high school days, hoping that it could bring a cooler guy to Christ, a more accomplished guy. A guy without a limp. That's a fallen, perverse fantasy that we must bring to Christ through repentance. Say, God, I'm sorry that I have difficulty accepting the magnitude of your grace and your love. You see right through me. You see my wheelchair. You see how pathetic I am. You know how useless I am. And yet you love me and you want me as your own. But God, I'm first wanting to fix a couple of things and I'm wanting to become somebody and then I'm wanting to grow into ministry and I'm going to get the supernatural thing right and I'm going to accomplish and I'm going to share my stories with the world and I'm going to find a platform on social media and people's going to see me lay hands on other people and they're going to think I'm really cool. Then I'm going to say, Christ, look at me. And he won't. He'll say, I never knew you. Go back, get the guy in the wheelchair and bring him here. I never knew you. We're going to stand in just a moment. Just share one or two scriptures with you. Christ refuses to acknowledge the false self.
the fabricated, the aspirational identity, the one who's usurped the true wheelchair self. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, if I have not love, I am nothing. Because you see, that other avatar, he can do a lot of stuff, but he cannot love. Christ only has an interest in the new creation or the recreated, what we call tonight the authentic self. And I want to tell you, my authentic self is a pathetic little guy. He's just a shell with nothing in. And I'm happy with that. If you're not happy with that tonight, I want to challenge you to find that authentic self. That guy, that girl with nothing to offer the world. That guy, that girl is just dying, being choked to death, smothered by a sense of shame, that suffocation of a sense of overwhelming insignificance. That guy Christ wants, because he wants to fill that shell with himself. He doesn't want you to put anything in there. He wants you to be able to stand at the beginning of a race knowing, I cannot do this. I know this is my race, but if it's my race, I'm going to lose it. But if I'm willing to live with this burden of the knowledge of my emptiness as a human, the fact that I am paralyzed, I am in a wheelchair, figuratively speaking, that is the real me. And I desperately need Christ every step of the way. I cannot claim credit for anything that's going right in my life, ever. It's all Christ or all bust. But to get there, Romans 6, 3, verse 7. Are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is free from sin's claims. You see, this death that baptism is symbolic of. Tonight, if you've not been baptized, I want you to come forward and tell Christ, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it with an understanding. It's not to join the church. It's not to be cool. Understand what you want of me. Any fantasy that I nurture, any aspiration to be somebody, you've got to give to Christ. God, I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be significant. I don't even want to be happy. I'm not entitled to all of those, and I'm totally incapable of achieving any of those things. I can't do it. I'm human. I'm fallen. I desperately, desperately need your sufficiency. I'm completely inadequate, completely insufficient. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you make me know wisdom. That's why in Ephesians, Christ says, put off your old self. Take it off. Take off that avatar suit, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self. Can we stand tonight? I don't know who's in this room. Maybe you're not happy being black. Maybe you're not happy being white. Maybe you're not happy being a male. Maybe you're not happy being a female. Maybe you're not happy being young. Maybe you're not happy being old. All I know Scripture says of me and of you, that Christ, God formed my inward parts. He knitted me together in my mother's womb. I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows that very well. The challenge we have tonight is God's sovereignty, the fact that he has called you by name before you were born. He called your gender. He called your culture. He called your generation. And he never makes mistakes. He cannot make a mistake. I even want to speak to people who may be afflicted tonight with real sexual confusion, like Custis Semenya. It's a very unfortunate physiological condition and an interesting one. Its incidence is 1 in 1,000 and only 2 places on earth. One of them being Southern Africa. And it's equal for every population group in South Africa, black, white, brown, yellow. It's weird. Researchers can't explain why that is so.
that has finally said tonight about his disability. Our challenge as believers is to discover God's hand of grace resting upon us as we embrace the sovereign perfection of his will toward each one of us. But there's a very profound falsehood tonight that we're being seduced by in this world. The symptomatic manifestations are a great deal. Some of you in this room tend to rage against white people because you think white people and British people were bad. They weren't bad. They were just people. Some of you think Afrikaner people were bad. They're not bad. They're just people. Some of you think black people are bad. They're not bad. They're just people. All of us together are fallen people. All of us. Except that for the blood of Christ, we are the redeemed. We're the redeemed. We're the redeemed. As the band leads us in a song now, if you have any issues around your identity, you're not comfortable with it, or the Holy Spirit is just convicting you tonight, or you've never got this whole baptism thing. You didn't know what it was about. You didn't know that you were actually saying to Christ, I'm giving you permission to kill me. I'm giving you permission and an invitation to kill everything that is not authentic about me. Everything about me that is fake. Everything in my mind. Everything in my emotions. Everything in my memories. Everything. Everything that is fake. I want you to destroy it. I want you to suffocate it. Until all that remains is my nothingness and my emptiness that is filled with the glory of Christ. That's the glory of the cross. Let's close our eyes. I think there are people wanting to respond right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're the only one who can heal the human soul. Because you made the human soul. And tonight, Father, even though we don't acknowledge it, we don't experience it emotionally, we belong to you. Because you bought us with a price, even with your own blood. And therefore, I invoke your ownership of the minds, the emotions, the hearts of people tonight. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit draws right now to the cross where there's healing and salvation. As the band sings now, as believers are praying, I want you to come forward right now. We're going to pray with you tonight. There's going to be deliverance. There's going to be healing. Come forward right now. A lot of people are suffering from anger, conflict, just cognitive dissonance. You're so confused about your arm many times. Your healing process will start tonight. Some of you will get completely healed tonight. But all your self-consciousness is going to come to a place of healing tonight. If you stand before Christ self-conscious, in other words, more aware of what other people think and say about you, but you haven't grown to a place of self-awareness, in other words, being comfortable naked before God, knowing that he sees your wheelchairs, he sees your disabilities, he sees your frailties, and he looks at you with eyes of love. And he says, my son, my daughter, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm proud of you. You're awesome. You're great because you're mine. If you're assigned to ministry, just come forward quickly. We don't have much time. This is just going to take a few minutes. Before the praying starts, we're going to just say pray over all these people. I want to say to you people, I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years, but I'm getting so excited about where we are right now. You are the most unlikely generation to do or to become anything for God. Because you're the most selfish, self-centered generation that has ever walked the face of this earth. But you happen to be the generation that God is going to do the most awesome stuff through. Because God loves a challenge. And I'm not saying that to perk you up. I'm saying that based on God's track record. Every time God has moved to change the world, every time a reformation got sparked, God waited for a generation like this to do the most extraordinary through.
I find massive comfort and solace in this. I can't get my head around it, but I see the pattern of God, and I see what God is doing right now. The fact that you are here, the fact that you're not walking out tonight, the fact that you're not offended. I know that some of you have great difficulty just receiving the truth because your mom never told you you're silly or you're foolish or you're wrong when you were 3 years old. So it's hard when preachers or God or your teacher tells you that you're wrong, that you need to change or be quiet or back down. But the miracle's already started, and it's astounding. Let's just have a moment of worship before we pray with these people.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.